Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
With Christmas celebrations now past, we turn our hearts and our perspective to a new year, 2011. Today we're going to discover how to finish strong, how to begin the new year strong as well. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. The Bible is filled with great examples of fantastic finishers, men who trusted God throughout the course of their life. It's important at a time such as this, the beginning of a new year, the end of this past year, that we set our hearts and sights upon the new year and that we renew our passion to be finishers, to grow in our faith, and to continue running the race with patience. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And we're going to finish out the year of 2010 with this series, Faith to Finish. We're going to study some of the Bible's greatest finishers with Dr. Chapel. Before we join the message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Find out more about our ministry. You'll find a lot of resources to help you in your walk with the Lord in the new year. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Here's Pastor Chapleton introduced today's message.
Finishing is God's will for each and every one of our lives. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that He has begun a good work in our lives, but He wants to finish that work as well. Today we're going to study the life of a man who finished well. His name was Joseph. He's a type of Jesus Christ, and his life is going to be a blessing to us today as we turn to Genesis chapter 50 for our Bible study.
They not only envied their brother, the Bible says they sold their brother. Notice in Genesis 37 and verse 20, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Genesis 37, 27, "Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for our brother, he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content." Now I want you to get this in your mind for just a moment. Here we see the betrayal of Joseph's family. Now sometimes people say, "Pastor, if you only knew what my dad did to me. If you only knew what my mom did to me. If you only knew what my Uncle Zeke did. If you only knew how bad I had it." By the way, I'm not saying that those were not bad things, but think about this. How many of you were thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery by your siblings? I think Joseph had a pretty bad family life. I mean, if that's not dysfunctional, folks, I don't know what is. This guy had a weird family. They were filled with anger and animosity towards him and enviousness towards him to the point that they literally betrayed him into slavery. By the way, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Listen, if you dare to believe this book and if you dare to tell others about it, there will be people who will not appreciate your life. That's what Joseph was experiencing. Now, in the midst of that betrayal, Joseph made a choice, and I want you to catch this. He chose to stay in the fellowship of God. You see, a lot of times when people are falling away from God, it's not that God's less faithful. It's that they're making a volitional choice to step away and to follow their own plan. There's a little definition I have in your notes this morning that I hope you'll think about. And it simply says, "Integrity is keeping my commitment even if the circumstances when I made the commitment have changed. Integrity is when you love your wife even when her physical conditions change. Integrity is when you love your husband even when his career didn't go how you thought it would go. Integrity is when you stay faithful to God even when you don't think everything is going the way it should go. You see, Joseph said, God, I believe your word. I'm going to keep believing your word even when my circumstances change. I will be faithful to you because you have revealed your will to me. He was faithful when he was betrayed. Notice, secondly, he was faithful when he was tempted by his boss's wife. When he was tempted by his boss's wife. Notice in Genesis 39 and verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now let me give you this picture very quickly. Joseph is a young Hebrew boy, maybe a teenager still, handsome, strapping young man. He's starting to rise up in the ranks. He's now serving in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was a very, very authoritative man in all of Egypt. Potiphar's wife one day lays eyes on Joseph. And Potiphar's wife begins to have a designing scheme towards him. And in verse number 8, the Bible says in Genesis 39, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, one of the temptations that comes to people who do not finish strong is the temptation of sexual lust. And this is a tragedy in so many lives and in so many broken homes. But Joseph knew something that all of us should remember. He knew that to commit this sin was not only to sin against Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, but more than that, it was to sin against God. And there is a defilement of the soul and of the conscience with moral sin that I cannot put into a verbal description. Suffice it to say, the whole process of thinking is changed when someone succumbs to this because they have sinned against God. And until there is repentance, their thought processes are often very warped. Joseph was a straight-thinking man because he had put his faith in the Word of God and he was walking faithfully to God. So when the temptation came, he quickly said, no way. How can I do this great wickedness against my God? And Joseph was willing to lose a coveted position, to lose his job if need be, in order to keep his integrity. Thank God for men in our armed forces who say, I'm not going to drink at the officers' club to get my promotion. Thank God for ladies in the workforce who say, I'm not going to dress like some wild Jezebel in order to get the attention of the boss. Thank God for Christians with integrity. Thank God for people who say, I am going to walk with integrity in this day. Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph, but Joseph was faithful to God. In fact, notice in Psalm 51 and verse 4, what David said after David sinned. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, David really understood that his sin was a sin against God Almighty, and he was repentant of that sin. Now, Joseph was faithful when he was betrayed by his own brethren. Joseph was faithful when he was tempted by his boss's wife. Thirdly, Joseph was faithful when he was falsely accused. Notice in Genesis 39 and verse 20. The Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, I want you to think about this. You see, we live in a similar day. It doesn't even have to be true. It just has to be said. And this was what Joseph was facing. Here, a Potiphar's wife makes this accusation against him. And Joseph is now thrown into prison for something he didn't even do. Now, if you've ever had involvement in a prison ministry, if you've ever visited the prison, as I have, about 9 out of 10 men in prison say the same thing to me. They say, hey, I'm in here on a bum rap. My cousin did it. My friend did it. I didn't do it. And that's normally the way it goes. But you know, in Joseph's case, it was absolutely correct to say, I did nothing wrong, but he went to prison for it anyways. And yet, while he was there, God was with him. I want to tell you something. Sometimes you're going to be sidetracked. Sometimes you're going to be unjustly accused. And I want you to know that during those times, God is still there with you. God is still at work, even through the tough things. God's going to show you things that you would not have learned otherwise. In fact, notice how God was with Joseph. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Notice Genesis 39, 23. "And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." I love Proverbs 16 and verse 7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You see, it was so obvious that Joseph was walking with God that even the prison keeper recognized the hand of God upon his life. Now, folks, I want you to remember something about Joseph's faithfulness. I want you to remember this simple fact. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found what?
Faithful.
God is looking for faithful men and women today. And in this success-orientated society, listen, you may not finish this life with as much stuff as the next guy. You may not finish this life on the career ladder where someone else finishes. But if you finish with your eyes on Christ and your attitude in love with Christ, and if you finish trying to live for Him and witness for Him, if you finish faithfully for Christ, then, my friend, you have succeeded in the eyes of God. God's Word says little about success, but it says much about faithfulness, and it is required of a man to be faithful, not successful. And this world today is dying for a lack of faithful men to their families and to their church and to their God. The faithfulness of Joseph is a great testimony for all of us. Notice, though, not only the faith of Joseph, which caused him to be faithful, but there's a third characteristic that I really believe helped Joseph to cross that finish line and to be 105 years old and still longing for God when he died. And that is the forgiveness of Joseph. The forgiveness of Joseph. Now I want you to turn over to Genesis 45 for just a moment. You see, according to Joseph's original dream, there comes a day when his brothers do come to him and they do bow down to him. By the way, God may not immediately accomplish certain things in your life, but if it's according to His Word, His timing's always right. And his brothers come. And I want you to notice that they, first of all, as they come to him, are fearful, but Joseph forgave his brothers. He forgave his brothers. Genesis 45, verse 1. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life.'" Now, folks, do you see this morning the grace of Joseph? He was the one who could have been bitter. He was the one who should have been grieved. He was so full of grace and so full of godliness that instead of worrying about how he felt, he was worried about how they felt. He said, "Don't feel bad about it. Don't worry about it. God was at work here." And we see in Joseph's life that he forgave his brothers and he displayed great grace to his brothers. Not only that, he displayed great humility. Turn over to Genesis 50 for a moment and notice the humility that this man possesses. The Bible says in verse number 17, "So shall ye say to Joseph," Jacob said, "'Tell Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God?'" Joseph said, "Look, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not God over you. I want to forgive you. I want you to know that I love you." He forgave his brothers. Oh, I don't know what family trials you've experienced. I don't know what holiday meeting you are dreading. But I want you to know something, friend, that if you will forgive those that have wronged you, then you will be able to face them with a clear conscience and a loving spirit. And you'll be able to go on from that point. And you say, yeah, but you don't know what my family did. And I remind you again what Joseph's family did. And I remind you that he's a picture of Jesus. And I remind you that if you call yourself Christian, that means a Christ-like one. If Jesus forgave us, then should we forgive those as well? Notice, not only did he forgive his brothers, but something else is great here. He focused on the Lord. He focused on the Lord. You see, if you're going to cross the finish line, you can't watch how this guy burned you and this guy lied to you and this person said that and this guy at work did that. You can't be focusing all that way. Listen, you've got to focus on the Lord if you're going to finish the race. Notice what it says in verse 20. Joseph says, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You know, folks, that's why we can't spend our whole life trying to rescue everybody from every problem. We can help and bear their burdens when the problems come, and we can try to avoid some problems. But did you know that some of the problems, some of the evil stuff, God's going to teach us things during that time? God says here, God meant it unto good to bring to pass as if to this day to save much people alive. In other words, Joseph said, hey, God used this whole experience for the betterment of our entire family. And verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Hey, can you be kindly to someone that's burned you? Could you provide a meal for someone that at one time took your last penny maybe? Joseph had certainly grown in the grace of God. He saw the heavenly perspective. He said, I would have gone crazy if I would have thought about you and them and why you did this to me, but instead, I just kept my focus on the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. I want to encourage your heart. Romans chapter 8. Notice the heavenly perspective here. The heavenly perspective is found in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Now, the first three words say, and we know. Let's say that together. And And we know, this is something we can know. What is it? And we know that all things, does all things mean good and bad as well? All things. We know that all things work together for good. But Joseph, they threw you in jail. Joseph, you didn't get to see your father, Jacob. Joseph, look what they did to you, Joseph. Joseph says, they meant it for evil, but I kept my eyes on the Lord. Now, folks, there are people in this society who are going to just try to get you focusing on those things. And I want to get you to focus on Him. Focus on the Lord. Why? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Hey, how many of you love God? How many of you believe there's a purpose for your life? God has a purpose for your life. All right, what does it say in verse 29? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Hey, you know what those trials are all about? You know what sometimes those setbacks are all about? They are all about a loving God who's trying to help us become more like Jesus Christ. Now, we can jump out of them and fight our way out of them, but we'll miss many times the lesson. Joseph patiently waited through 2 years of false imprisonment in order to be all that God wanted him to be. Joseph saw the heavenly perspective. By the way, when Joseph saw the heavenly perspective, he met the earthly need. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. In other words, when we finally get God's perspective and when we realize that God's working all things for our good, then we don't mind helping people this way because God's helping us this way. And he was willing to nourish them. And one of the great signs of Joseph's greatness is that he had ability to endure without resentment. He had the ability to endure without resentment. Excuse me. I've never met a bitter Christian who crossed the finish line of the Christian life. I've never met an unforgiving Christian. I've never met a Christian who focused on this and that, smoke screens and, oh, let me tell you about my problems. I've never met a Christian like that who finished their race. Problem-centered, problem-focused Christians oftentimes get off track. Christ-centered, Bible-focused Christians, even with the inequities and the difficulties and the trials, just stay on their lane and keep going forth. Now, finishing strong does not mean finishing perfect. It does not mean finishing without being injured. It does not mean that you're not going to stumble and scrape your knee, or that some other racer is going to try to get you off the track. Finishing strong doesn't mean that some of that won't happen. It will happen. But it does mean keeping your eyes on Jesus. Listen, who's the author and the finisher of your faith? Now, that's one of the big questions. Are you saved? Is Jesus the author of your faith? Have you ever met him as your Savior? I want you to turn to Hebrews 12 as we close this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, while you're turning there, just think of that. A great cloud of witnesses. Some of you have been to the Rose Bowl or the Staples Center or some stadium. Well, this verse says there's a great cloud of witnesses all around us, and it's speaking about people who've gone on before us, who are in heaven now. Paul the apostle and Joseph and hundreds and thousands and millions of others who've gone before us. Now, they're a great arena. You know what they're watching now? Your race and mine. Seeing then that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. There's some things that aren't wrong or sinful, but they just kind of pull you down. Let us lay aside the weight of unforgiveness. Let us lay aside the weight of some hobby that gets us out of church. Let us lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Oh, don't get all worked up about something. Just be patient. Let us run with patience this race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto whom? Looking unto whom? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, Joe, what did that preacher at that Baptist church tell you about yesterday? Well, he said, if I was going to finish my race for the Lord, I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. I need to be faithful in keeping my eyes on the Lord. I want you to realize, my friend, that some 2,000 years after Joseph, there was a man named Jesus who came. He was despised and rejected. He was betrayed by a dear friend. He lived a perfectly sinless life. And yet, for that, he hung on a cross and shed his blood. To be our example of how to run the race? Yes, but more than that. To be our Redeemer, to be the forgiver of our sins. And if you're here this morning and you've never had your sins forgiven, I can't forgive them. This church can't forgive them. The baptistry waters can't wash your sins away. But Jesus Christ, who went down into that grave and rose up 3 days later, Jesus Christ can forgive your sin today and give you a home in heaven. And he can help you to have faith to believe, and then faithfulness to follow, and then forgiveness so that you won't fall out of the race. And I pray, if you do not know Christ, that you'd put your trust in him today as your Savior. I pray, if you do know him, that you will not allow the wicked one to pull you out of the race, that you'll not be another has-been, could-have-been, used-to-be, but that you'll be still in your lane. Maybe not as fast as you once were, maybe a little scarred for the wear, but still in the race for the glory of God.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.